the good, the bad, the ugly.
Welcome to Sustain Nutrition's podcast, Chewing the Fat, where Joe and James will be discussing all things good, bad and ugly regarding training and nutrition. So pull up your pants, put your best foot forward and get ready for some serious oral pleasure. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Joe and James.
Whoa! Before we get started, there are 48% of you guys listening to this podcast now who have not yet subscribed. So do us a favour, subscribe. Don't miss out on any of this uber valuable content that we're going to deliver in 2023. Starting off with today's goal setting call, we're going to do a month getting you set to be in the best position possible to absolutely smash 2023. So whatever you're listening on, whether it's Spotify, iTunes, Podbean, whatever, go and subscribe and you will not miss another episode. I thank you. And on with today's episode.
Sustain.
Nutrition.
Chewing.
The.
Fat.
Podcast.
Yes, it is. Happy New Year, Joe.
Thanks, Jamesy. Happy New Year to you too.
Not quite. We're recording this on New Year's Eve, but by the time you listen to this, sometime in the future, it might not even be in January. You might listen to this in 6 months' time. Who knows? But for us right now, we're heading into 2023 and it's going to be a big one. Joe, have you set any resolutions?
Not really, mate. Got a couple of goals, but not resolutions as such.
Okay. I'm going to take from that you don't want to share them. And that is fine. They're all very personal, but it is the season. It's the season for new beginnings. It's the season for people to dust off the old cobwebs of the old year and make a fresh start. And not going to lie, I love it. I think, you know, the fitness community poo-poos the new year, new me, and poo-poos people joining the gym in January. But I'm all for it because some of those people will stick. And if we can make 2% more stick to it from our advice, I am all for it. I hate those people who are like, oh, January's coming, new guys in the gym. You know what? Everyone started new. It's like people who beep at, oh, nearly swallowing already. Learner drivers, there's my New Year's resolution. People who beep at learner drivers, like, what? You never learn to drive? Yeah. Joe's blushing because he beeps at learner drivers.
No, I remember being the learner being beeped and being like, this is awful, I hate it.
Yeah, honestly, I suppose obviously you're listening. I'm not the smallest of fellows, never have been. But I remember one time I was driving in Hare Hills, which is notoriously a bad area to drive in.
It's like the Knightsbridge of Leeds.
And I was waiting to pull out onto a really busy junction and there was I think it was a skip lorry behind me beeping away. And my driving instructor, little skinny Neil, was like, I'm going to get out and say something. Like, Neil, I think it might be more effective if I get out and say something. For now, I will just sit here comfortably and ignore him. Anyway, that's 5 minutes of the podcast burnt.
Chew through, good stuff.
Joe, we're setting up a video series. No, it's not a video series, it's a podcast series. How to have an awesome 2023. This is going to be part one. What are we talking about?
We're talking about goal setting, as you roughly alluded to. I assume that was the anonymous segue from New Year's resolutions.
Yeah,
and it's one of our favourites, isn't it? We do like a good ramble on goal setting.
It's the what and the why, and just because we do like to ramble about goal setting because it's so flipping important. You see what I did there?
Very good.
Yet again, one of the problems I see, I did actually did a video on this, which you've probably seen if it's brought you to this podcast. People have a problem with goal setting. I'm going to try and keep this under 2 hours. We'll run into next year.
Titanic.
Problem, yeah, I have a tattoo. They have a problem with goal setting because they have this fear of failure, and it's because people view goals wrongly. Is that a word? Have I just made that up? Am I just butchering the English language? And I kind of said in this video, like, people don't, I look at a goal as a target. This is what I'm aiming towards. This is what I want to achieve. That's it. People see a goal as like a written contract that is life or death. If you don't pass this, if you don't hit this marker that you've literally pulled out of your ass, I don't think that's swearing. You've literally just made up and go like, what do I want to achieve in the next 3 months? What do I want to achieve in the next 6 months? This. And then you don't achieve it. And then you're like, oh my God, I am a terrible person. Like, you made that goal up. Mm. You literally just plucked it out of the air and went, well, this would be nice. Like, you can't hold your worth to it. But that's, you know, I think that about people, I don't like setting goals because, you know, I don't always achieve them. Then it makes me feel real bad. Like, it's just feedback. It's, you know, you've got an outcome, whether that's the outcome that you want or not. And then from that outcome, you can assess, right, was my goal too lofty? Was it too much of a stretch? Or did I just not do the work required to get to that goal? And then do I need to adjust anything?
And also, it's fine to not hit goals, isn't it? The problem there is your perception of not hitting a goal, is that you are viewing that as a failure, as a bad thing. But if you set a target of losing 3 stone and you lose 2, or you lose 7 pounds, then that's brilliant because it's a step forwards, it's a step closer. And if you constantly, it's, you know, it's how you reflect on these things, and you're, you know, everyone has these immediate thoughts of that's not good enough, or I could have done better, or I'm not happy with that. But it's then what you do with that thought. And most people then look at this and go, yeah, that's spot on. That's exactly what I'm thinking. And I'm just going to run with this. Rather than taking a different perspective, reframing at it, looking at it from a kinder, more compassionate angle. And, you know, so the other day I stood on the scales and I'm something like 3 kilos up from my lightest at before Christmas. And you can look at that and go, ah, well, that's a nightmare. I've completely blown out my progress, which was my immediate thought. And then you have that moment where you can choose what you do with that thought. And I rationalized it and said, it's just water. You've had 4 days of eating high calorie food. You've had 3 days back on plan. That'll come off in a heartbeat. And I've consciously decided, I've targeted my thoughts to make myself feel better. Most people, or a lot of people, don't do that. And they let these thoughts run rather than challenging them. And this is a skill that takes time and takes practice. And the better you get at it, the better you'll feel. And to tie this into what we're actually going to be talking about with the goal setting stuff, is set lofty goals. Don't be afraid to stretch yourself, because when you set those questions like, right, how am I going to lose 3 stone in the next 3 months? Is your mind, as soon as you set a lofty goal, will subconsciously start to look for ways to do that. And so often we were talking about this the other day, when people set goals and they go, I want to drink more water this year. I want to lose 2 pounds in the next 3 months. Well, you've done it by Wednesday. And so your mind has got no work to do. You're not stretching yourself. You're not getting anywhere. You're not, you know, and if that goal means loads to you, then that's great. But I would challenge, you know, we've seen a lot of questionnaires in our time, and people drinking more water and losing 2 pounds in the next 3 months is not going to change anybody's life. And that's what we're here to try to facilitate. And so it's about asking those difficult questions, because then your mind can look for the solutions. And that's what our minds do with problems. And if you ask the right questions, you'll get the right answers. Whereas if you ask the questions of like, why am I such a failure? You can tell I've been reading some Tony Robbins. Is that your mind, you know, you will get what you ask for. And if you're asking, why am I such a failure? Your mind will look for reasons why you are a failure and will reinforce that. Whereas if you just look at, right, how can I make more progress this year? How can I fulfill these values? Your mind will then look for the ways to do that.
Yeah, just to speak on that, Your subconscious mind, and it sounds a bit airy-fairy, a bit woo-woo, your subconscious mind will listen to what your conscious mind is saying. So if you're constantly saying, I'm a failure, I always do this, oh, my favorite, I'm greedy, I'm lazy, then your subconscious mind will prove you right.
This is just how, like, I am.
Yeah, and obviously there's levels to this. You know, you can't just go like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and look like Jason Momoa.
And be a, like, T-Rex.
Yeah, because if that did work, Tanya would be whispering that into my ear every single night. But I just don't have those luscious locks. That's all the thing that's missing.
Close.
So you've got to be very aware, and I'm really keen at picking this up with my clients, like the language that people use. It's like, you will prove yourself right if you keep on saying, oh, I'm negative, I'm lazy, I'm greedy. Not I'm negative, sorry. I'm lazy, I'm greedy, I can't do this. Guess what? You will be able to. You know, those who say they can and those who say they can't are usually right. But I digress. So what we're going to go through in the podcast is the multiple layers of goal setting that we work with clients. Because this is going to be, you know, people talk about, oh, I've lost my mojo, I've lost my motivation. You know why? Because you're not clear on your goals, because you're not focused on the what and the why. People go, as you use your example, I want to lose 3 stone. That's it. That's where they stop. Right. Well, then we need to really dig into that. get some emotion behind it, get some sense of purpose. Those are the things we're going to talk about in today's episode. So the first bit is get crystal clear on what you want to achieve. Don't come at me and say you want to lose some weight, tone up, get a bit fitter, because it doesn't mean anything. Like Joe said, lose weight. Okay, so if you lose a pound, have you achieved it? So how are you judging your level of fitness? What does tone mean to you? What does it look like? We need some more details. Just, again, and I understand it because you're giving yourself an out. You give yourself a back door. Well, I said I wanted to lose some weight, and I did lose 3 pounds. Yeah, but in the back of your mind, your real goal was 3 stone. So we haven't achieved it. We've still got something to do. You've got to be open and honest with yourself. You've definitely got to be open and honest if you're working with a coach, but you have to be brutally honest with yourself and have that internal chat. Like, again, slight tangent. It's not a tangent. I'm all for body positivity. I'm all for people embracing what they've got. But I'm all for people wanting to improve and going like, you know what? I'm not happy with where I'm right now, and I can do something about it. You know, again, the example I normally use is, you know, when people go like, no, you should be grateful for the body you've got. Like, well, that's like saying never decorate your house. That's like saying, you know, never put an extension on, never get the walls plastered. You know, never do anything different, because you should just be grateful that you've got this house. Like, no, it's okay to want to improve. It's okay to go like, actually, no, I want more. You know, it's okay to ask for that raise. It's okay to go for a better job. It's okay to try to improve your relationship. It's okay to try and improve your body.
And people will, you know, as a substitute for that, will try reinforcing through kind of endless positive affirmations of like, I'm happy, I'm happy, I'm happy. But what if that doesn't work? What if you're not? What if deep in your soul, this is really important to you? You know, I did some values work recently, and, you know, the thing that came out the top for me was my health, my fitness, exercise, how I look. Like, that is the thing that's more important to me than anything else. So why not harness that? You know, that is that has been cultivated over a period of time. Obviously, I can choose to change that if I want. If, you know, if it was drugs, sex, and gambling, I could look at that and go, well, maybe I should change this. But actually, that's something that's conducive to my life, gives me a purpose. It's something that, you know, I use in this job to help other people. So why not push on with that if it means something to you? You know, and if it doesn't, and this is actually just something that it's a pipe dream, you know, I really like the idea of being a rapper, you know, but, or what is never going to happen, or playing the drums or whatever, but I don't have that passion to actually work on that. And so it's recognizing these things for, if this is something that you really, really want and you're willing to do the work for, because if it's not, that's cool. There's a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of people put time and effort into consuming our content, listening to the podcast, paying for coaching, engaging in the different things that we put out there. But selectively, you know, they go, well, I eat more protein and veg. Yeah, but you've never given me a specific goal to work towards because you're afraid of being vulnerable. And that's what, you know, one of the many things that's holding you back. One of those small details that you can put into place that will, you know, tip the scales favorably, rather than just being like, yeah, I just want to lose weight. Or I'm just going to ignore that post they put out there. You know, engage in all these things. The people who are the most successful are always the ones who pick up on every little detail. Now, not every detail, but the majority of them. Whereas the people who, you know, they don't do their portions of high calorie food, or they don't do their positives, they don't do their affirmations, they don't listen to podcasts. Of course, those people aren't going to be as successful. It just comes down to putting in the work. And this stuff that we're talking about today is a great example of that. So, you know, if you haven't already, get a pen and a pad, and then some of the things that we're talking about, make notes on it and then action it. You know, you don't have to share it with anyone. You don't have to post it on Facebook or tattoo it to your forehead. Just write down what it is that would make you happier. And it might change. You might be wrong. You might think, Joe, what if I go from a 40-inch waist to a 36? And you might get there and go, oh, actually, I was happier at 40. But I'll tell you what, I haven't seen it very often. In fact, I haven't ever seen it in the 7 years we've been running Sustain. I'm proud to say, because of the methods that we use, no one has ever said, no, do you know what? It hasn't been worth it. It's always been worth it. People have always gone, do you know what? I'm glad that I made those decisions. And so it's, you know, setting those targets to work towards. Sorry.
No. It's getting crystal clear on, you know, what you want to achieve. And going back to what you said about setting those lofty goals, I'm always keen to have those kind of that we call a stretch goal. So that 3 stone as that example. But all right, we're cool. What would you be happy with though? So you've got a buffer, you've got a gauge. Like, I'd love to lose 3 stone. That would be my ideal result for these 3 months. But I'd be happy with 2 stone. You know, because like you said in that example, like, we'll talk more about it in some of the other podcasts that we're going to do over this month. If the weight is your only goal, then you've got one opportunity to be happy. That's it. That end result. After those 97 days, have I hit my goal, yes or no? And there might be little bits where, like, oh, I've lost weight this week. I've lost weight this week. Yeah, great. I've not lost weight. If you've only got that one thing, like you said, you know, you bust your ass, you've pulled this number out of your butt, 3 stone. You get to that 97th day, you weigh in, you've lost 2 stone. You're like, ugh, didn't hit my goal, failed. Like, well, you've lost 2 stone. You know, if your goal had been 2 stone, then you'd be over the moon right now. And it's literally this number that you committed to. So I'm a fan of kind of having that stretch goal, but then having like, okay, but what would you be happy with? Do this a lot with clients when they want to do something every single day. So if like, oh, I want to meditate every day, I want to walk every day, I want to do these. Don't set that, or you know, say like, right, 7 would be amazing, but what would I be comfortable with? I'd be really happy if I did it 4 times a week. That's the minimum I'd like to do. Cool, now we've got a buffer. Let's aim for a minimum of 4, but like, you know, fingers crossed we hit 7. That's cool. So that's just kind of a word on kind of getting clear on what you want to achieve. And again, it doesn't have to be weight loss. It could be anything that's you're struggling with, activity levels, you know, consistency. There's a ton of different things that you can set that aren't just, and again, we'll talk about more when we get into, you know, maybe some mindset stuff about process-based goals as well. The next part of the puzzle, for me, and again, it's about being vulnerable. It's about kind of being brutally honest. Again, get clear on why it's so important. Why is it so important to change? Because again, to use your example of becoming a rapper, I would love to learn Spanish. I say I'd love to learn Spanish, but it's not a priority for me. It's not like a massive importance. It's not causing me any pain that I can't speak Spanish. So I make very little effort. Every so often, I'm like, I'm going to try and learn some Spanish. And I might read 3 pages of a book and learn how to ask where the toilet's at. Now, if it was, you know, massively painful, say Tanya was Spanish, or, you know, I would got dropped into Spain, I had to live there, no one spoke English, then there'd be a real sense of urgency, as to a desperation as to why I'd have to learn Spanish. It was like the only way I could possibly communicate. And that's when we were looking at, like, why is it so important that you make these changes? Why is it so important that you do this extra effort? Because losing weight, getting healthier, you know, getting fitter, these are all inconvenient things. So it has to be worth it. You know, what is it going to be worth? You know, why is this so important that you have to do this?
You go kind of to, I don't know if you're going to cover this in a second, but there's that, what's the reward of change and trying to list as many things as you can? And then what's the pain of staying the same? Is what are the all the individual negative situations? So for me, if I was, you know, the rapper thing I made up, just as you could probably well imagine, but whatever. being leaner year round is something that would be a genuine goal of mine. So what are the pain points of that? When I look in the mirror at home, when I look in the mirror at the gym, when I wear certain items of clothing, when I put my chinos on, when I'm getting changed in front of Chrissy, when I go clothes shopping sometimes, if I catch my reflection, you know, that's 7 things I've thought of in probably 20 seconds. And what are the pleasure points? Pretty much the inverses of those. You know, I look in the mirror and I'm happy. When I'm getting out of the shower and I think I'm looking in good shape, or if I catch my reflection. And I think especially with that example, very often people hear that, but that's so vain. But who gives a damn? It's your goal. You get to decide what it is. You don't have to share it with anybody. You know, if you're judging me for that now, then that's cool, because I don't care. It's my goal. You know, that's what's important to me. That's the bare bones of it. That's what matters to me. And very often as a coach, you're talking with people and they'll hide those details away because they don't want to be judged. And they think that we care more than we do in that front. Like, I don't care what your goals are. I care that you have a goal that you want to achieve. I don't care what the motivation is. You know, I just want you to be happy. And so you just have to be willing to be vulnerable and quiet and all that chatter that other people are judging you, or that it makes you look a certain way. And I think that's one of the things that really holds our clients back, is this constant chatter and noise and all this false perception about what that says about them, or what other people are thinking or judging them on. And people are just afraid to live their own lives. I think they're afraid to kind of put their marker in the sand and say, you know, this is what I'm all about, and this is what I want to do, and this is what matters to me. And actually, if I don't achieve it, these are the things that will be painful to me. And so we end up with these really lazy goals of like, I want to be a bit fitter. You know, that's not going to motivate you to do anything. You know, when you're struggling to get out of bed in the morning to do some exercise, that's not going to encourage you. You know, and that's what you need, is you need that constant encouragement. You need that reminder about how it's going to make you feel. You know, the example I gave there, I gave you all the different scenarios. Then what are the emotions? How does that make me feel? It makes me feel that, and there's different levels to this, because for me, there's the like the higher ones, you know, when I'm feeling confident or I'm feeling almost like elated. But then there's like kind of day-to-day contentment and calm and peace when I know that I'm at a weight I'm happy with. And that can also be with the decisions that I'm making. I know when I'm eating less high calorie food, I feel really good about that. I feel like I'm setting a good example to my clients. I know that's not a feeling, but that's something that would be tied into that contentment. So you're linking those emotions rather than just being this quite cold in the mirror, in my reflection, wearing certain clothes. Like, what are the feelings that you get from that? And the same with the negatives. How does it make me feel when I'm getting changed in front of Chrissy? I'm feeling a bit podgy. I feel a bit embarrassed. You know, I feel self-conscious. Yeah. You know, disgust to be strong when it's near that level of like, oh, this is annoying. I'm not.
Yeah, frustration, isn't it?
Yeah, frustration, probably the right level. And that's difficult to do. You know, it's not, a lot of people will really struggle with that. It's just because we have had a lot more practice. But it's a skill that you can master. You know, I am a 32-year-old bloke. I'm the demographic of people who don't talk about these things very well. But it's a skill that can be learned. And it will only help you. Your life will only get better for being more vulnerable about these things. You'll only get better results from it. If I just sit here and go, well, you know, I'm not that bothered about my physique. Well, I'm lying to you. I'm lying to myself. I'm hiding away, like I've said, from a value that's really important to me. And if you're willing to spend your time listening to us talk about these things, and it obviously is important to you. I was speaking to a bloke the other day and he was saying, oh, you know, my goals are only a 1 or 2 out of 10. And I was like, I'm just going to challenge you on that, because I just don't believe you, because we've been talking on Facebook for, you know, I don't know, 10, 20 messages. You responded to something that I put out there about giving away some free content. If you weren't bothered, you wouldn't be in our group. You wouldn't have asked for the resources. You wouldn't have been chatting with me. You know, you'd have just, there's 100 points here you could have dropped off. This is, in my opinion, more important to you than you're aware of. Now, either you're not aware of how important it is, or you don't want to say, I don't know. But there's a lot of different markers here that suggest that you're bothered. And I think when we have paying clients, people are paying us money. You must care to a reasonable degree to let that money go out of your wallet or purse. And so you then have to be willing to do the work and to do that uncomfortable stuff, because it's, you know, the results are only going to come from you. I've been doing some stuff recently and I have never made somebody change. You know, we've helped thousands of people. I've never been responsible for that. I've always facilitated it, because like the people who get nowhere and the people who lose 3 stone and keep it off for years, they get the same advice. I don't save the best advice or the golden nuggets for the people that listen. Everyone gets the same effort and commitment and input from us. It's then what do they do with it? And that's the difference. Like, and you know, the stuff that we're saying now, are you going to be the person that makes notes and writes these things down and does the tasks? Or are you just going to sack it off?
You're just going to listen to it and go, oh yeah, that really resonated with me, and then do nothing about it. And just to talk on a few of those million things that you just said there, Joe, I was trying to remember them. Put a pin in that whole vanity thing, because we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then I agree with the guy that you're talking to. I think sometimes people don't realize how bothered they are about their goals until we do these kind of reflections with them, until they really dig into it. And that's kind of what we're moving on to now. Great segue. So this is something I do a lot with people when I'm speaking to them on calls, because all our coaching is invite only, except for the challenges. We want to make sure that we're working with the right people and they're a good fit for us and we're a good fit for them. And I'll say to him, when someone says, so again, using your example, if a lady comes over and she goes, I want to lose 3 stone. And then we'll go, why? And they'll say a few things like, okay, if I wave the magic wand right now, bring, and you woke up tomorrow, 3 stone's gone. How is your life different? What changes for you? And then it gets people thinking, you know, again, it's about building up these points. And the whole purpose of the goal setting stuff is to attach a ton of emotion to this change, this desire, where it's like, oh, this is something that I simply have to do. So it does involve digging into a bit of pain. Obviously, there's the pleasure side of it as well, of like, where do we want to reach? And I think so many people, I know, when people are goal setting, it's like, well, this is what I want to achieve. And that's it. That's the goal. I want to lose 3 stone. And you're like, oh, why? Like, oh, I'll be able to fit into my old clothes. Okay. That's like proper surface level. Let's dig into this a little bit more. And this question, I think, works both ways. So if I go like, right, magic wand, you've lost 3 stone. How's your life different? So if you picture your goal and go, right, if that happened tomorrow, what changes in your life? And it's nearly always like, I'll feel more confident. I'll be able to, you know, get involved with the kids more. You know, a lady I was speaking to the other day, like, I just want to be have the confidence to get on the water slide with the kids. She's got 3 kids. And they're all like of age now to go on the water slide. She said, I don't have any excuses. I used to be able to hold the baby and the dad would go with all of them. Like, I want to have the confidence to go do that. Like, brilliant. That is something that we can work towards. That's something that we can keep in our little bank when you're feeling like shit, when you don't want to get out of bed, when you don't want to do the work, when you want to go to McDonald's instead of eating the food that you prepped. The water slide. When I get on that water slide, am I going to be comfortable with the decisions that I've made leading up to this or not? And again, it puts some urgency into it. But yeah, look at that. Ask that magic wand. What changes in my life? How does it get better? What can that 3 stone lighter version of me do that I can't do now? And if it's nothing, then that goal probably doesn't. It's not worth pursuing. Or we need to dig in it a little bit more. But I think it's a really good tool to kind of future pace, frame it, and just go like, okay, why? What can you do when you're 3 stone lighter?
There's a really good another piece. I'll name drop again. Like Tony Robbins was saying about the quality of questions that you ask yourself. And you know, people will often, when they're faced with high calorie food, will say, they'll make statements or ask questions of like, oh, but I do really want it. Or, you know, it'll taste so nice. Or I'm just so hungry. I deserve it. There's not that many calories. All these reinforcing statements. And actually you can change that by asking better questions of like, how will my life get better if I work through these cravings? And then because you've done that work before, the work that that lady's done with you, is you got, I get to go on the water slide with my kids and I get to stop being embarrassed and I get to be proud of how I act. That's going to then get you through. That's again, one of those little moments where you can go left further from your goals, you go right closer to your goals. And all of those bits are the bits that add up to success. And so often people are looking for this one, you know, 180 degree turn that just doesn't exist. And actually, it's a bit like, you know, I guess the curvature of the earth, isn't it? Is that the horizon looks flat. But it's these tiny little changes that ultimately make a full turn, a full circle. And those little times when you go, I just go to Tesco and get some ham. And that saves you, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, maybe even 800 calories. And that is 1/4 pound. That's another step forward. And it's those additions of small pieces. You know, if you do the work today and you focus on your goals and then you keep asking yourself better questions and you access those thoughts and feelings and emotions, you will then be, ta-da, more motivated to achieve your goals. And so often people, you know, you said it earlier, and I like winced thinking about it. People are like, I've lost my mojo. Like, your mojo's not, I'm nearly going to swear, your mojo's not, it's not your car keys. You know, this isn't something that you misplace. This is something that you are actively not encouraging. It's a bit like somebody saying, somebody else put a load of weeds in my garden. Like, no, you didn't do the work to keep it weed free. This is your fault. The stuff we are talking about today are things that you can do to keep you motivated and keep you encouraged. Now, this is on you. Again, like, are you going to do the work? Are you going to do those things? Because it just all comes down to that. You know, people often say to us, I need to be able to do this on my own. I totally agree. I'm not here to do the work for you. If I could, I would, but I can't, so I won't. Therefore, you have to do these things that we're saying, you know, and that will be the difference, whether you're willing to do those small pieces and reflect back on it consistently.
Just looking at that statement that you said there, you know, kind of when you're faced with, I don't know, an ice cream or something like that, and you can say like, well, this, again, it's, you know, we'll get onto when we talk about purpose. Again, this is something I was speaking to on the same day to another lady, like saying, even though these choices seem insignificant, an ice cream, 150, 200 calories, whatever, in the grand scheme of things, is that going to negatively impact your weight loss of that 3 stone? No, probably not. But that decision that you make there will, because it'll reinforce you making those decisions. That makes sense. Like, physiologically, won't make a difference. Psychologically, massive one, because that compound effect of you going, actually, no, because I would I want this ice cream, or would I rather be on the slide with my kids? Powerful stuff. How much more motivating is that? And more motivating than God. Oh, I nearly swore then as well. Can't have this. I can't have it. You can have it. Knock yourself out. Eat the ice cream. You're choosing not to have it because you're choosing to have the confidence to get onto that water slide with your kid. Like, that's really powerful. Like, how much more motivating is that? Like, except for I'm on a diet that's got an end date, and then I'll eat all the ice creams I want. It's just massive. And again, if you can, like you said, you know, slide indoors, I can make this decision that's going to take me a step away from having that confidence. I can make another decision which is going to take me a step closer to me feeling confident. No brainer. Easy decision to make. And it's rationalizing those things instead of rationalizing the choice going, ah, it's only 150 calories, it's only 200 calories. It is. Again, that decision on its own is not going to impact, but the compound effects of multiple decisions like that will. And you strengthening your resolve and, you know, your willpower and your mindset will go a massive way. So going back to the one thing, that's when I get people when they go like, all right, well, I'll be more confident. Blah, blah, blah. I'll have more energy for my kids. I'll do this. I'll do that. Then I'll always reverse engineer that and say, okay, well, let's look at that then. So what you're telling me right now is that you're not as confident as you want to be. You're uncomfortable in your clothes. You don't like getting, you know, dressed with the lights on. You know, you don't feel comfortable naked in front of your partner. You don't feel like you're showing up enough for your kids. And this is a pain, but I'm sure I've said it a million times on this podcast, we're really good at moving away from pain as humans. You take your hand out of the fire as soon as it feels hot. You know, you're really good at doing this. So there's got to be, you know, this feeling of pain that we're moving away from. I said a few minutes ago, you know, we're really good at going, all right, well, this is the dream, 3 stone lighter, cool. But what's it costing you right now? What are these choices? Choosing to have the ice cream, what is that costing you right now? Because that's it. If you feel like shit and you feel like you look like shit, I've sworn now, you don't want to, you know, you want to keep the lights off. You're just like, oh, sorry, kids, I can't play with you. I'm too tired. You know, I'm going to lie on the couch for a little bit. That's a choice you're making when you're making those food choices. That's a choice you're making when you're choosing to go for a McDonald's drive-thru instead of eating the meal that you got prepped. You know, you're choosing that. All right, then that's more powerful. I have a choice. Cool. I'm going to choose this other one. I'm going to go buy a pack of ham and a pack of pineapple and some baby bells. Cool. Right. I'm choosing the water slide again as another example. It's really powerful stuff. And again, for the majority of people who listen to this, they've probably stopped at level one. What's your goal for 2023? Lose some weight. Not even got a figure on it. You know, sometimes people in those conversations with other people, are you working towards a specific goal right now? I want to lose some weight. Any idea how much? I don't really want to put a tag on it because that always puts me off and I fail. Like, level one. Let's look
red
at
flag.
Why.
Red flag.
Yeah. Okay, I get why you're feeling that. And it's not your fault because it's kind of like a societal thing. Like, oh, you've not hit your goals, you failed, you know, you've not getting certificate. You're not, you need to try harder next time, Sharon, you know, at the nameless slimming club. You know, you step to the scale. So you've not lost a weight? Okay, well, Janice over there, she's lost 7 pounds. You should do what she's doing. It's look at what it's costing you right now. What is the pain that staying where you are right now is causing you? Go on, have you got something to say?
I was just going to say, and it's not fun. Like, it isn't meant to be enjoyable. The best results will come. And there's this irony, isn't there, between the people who achieve the most are often the least satisfied, and the people who achieve the least are the most satisfied. Not all, I'm paraphrasing, but that idea of like, if you want to keep achieving more, you have to be willing to look for the areas to improve upon. And so often we see people will say, no, there's nothing I do differently. Like, you had 8 bags of crisps. Are you sure that 7 wouldn't have been sufficient? And this is the level we're talking at. We're not suggesting that someone goes, I had shepherd's pie and next time I'll just have, you know, mince and salad. People we work with, me and you, don't have to go to that level. You know, I lost 8 kilos in 8 weeks before Christmas and I still had something like an average of 1.5 meals out a week. I had 2 nights out over those 8 weeks. It wasn't back-breakingly hard. It's just consistency that you need. And people so often go to that idea of like, well, I need to cut down my calories. Like, if I can lose
8 kilos in 8 weeks. And most people, you know, almost every client we work with can do the same by just doing the basics consistently and just nailing those pieces down and working that system rather than trying to overcomplicate it and trying to go beyond that, because you just don't have to. And that, again, that's your choice to do so. But that's a story that you're telling yourself. No, I need this level of complexity. Do you? Are you sure? That's just a belief that you've picked up and you've held on to. And it's being willing to challenge these things. Again, it's not comfortable. It's not fun to take that responsibility and that ownership on, because then it's your fault. That's not nice. It's much easier to go, it's everybody else's fault but mine. But then you're waiting for the world to change. You're waiting for that lottery win, or you're waiting to be given that bonus. You're waiting for the same workouts you've been doing for the last 2 years to miraculously start working. Like, that's just not how life works. It always makes me smile when you look at, like, I make this mistake all the time. You look at people who are successful and you go, oh man, that must be so nice. And then you hear about, like, the years of failure they've had before and all the issues they've had. And I think with Matt Fraser, I don't know if you heard this story, that, like, he's in his breakout year, he came second at the, I think this is right, he came second at the CrossFit Games. And the next year he came back and he came second again. And he was like, oh, and that's all my fault, because I didn't work hard enough. And then after that, he went on and progressed really well. And I think it's that mistake you make when you look at successful people. And in my mind, I went, Matt Fraser, I bet he just worked his way up pretty quickly, got to the top, then he started winning them back to back. And actually, he had that pain of not putting in the necessary effort. He had that thing of falling short 2 years in a row. And imagine the years of training went before that. You know, he must be talking about 5 years worth of training before he gets to that point. Consistent, high-level, high-effort stuff. It's making sure that you don't put those old excuses of, in, it's different for them. As soon as you, that is the one of the biggest red flags, isn't it? Like, oh, it's different for so-and-so because, like, why? Why is it different? Is there, you know, it's very easy, I guess, for us. You can look at an Instagrammer and go, well, they're really good looking, so that makes it easier for them because they've got that massive following. Like, but does that mean that only really good looking people do well? Well, of course not. You know, it's just an excuse that you could, like, not that me and you do it because we're pretty good at this stuff. But people do. They just put those barriers up. Oh, it's different for so-and-so because they're retired. Nah, that's not true, though, is it? That's the story you're telling yourself. And this is painful to start pulling away. And you've got to be willing to go through that pain and discomfort, which ties back into the goal stuff of, you need to know why it's important to you. Because if it's just, well, I'm not that bothered, well, you're never going to do the painful work. Yeah. Then. That's fine. But that's your choice, too.
This is all about putting a rocket up your ass. This is all about building that motivation, that focus, you know. And then we use stuff with clients like the affirmation pieces, you know, the regular revisiting of the goals, keeping them omnipresent so they're always there. So they're always, it's easier to make a good decision when it's painfully obvious what the right decision is. And again, that's not to say that clients don't eat chocolate, have pizza, meals out. We want all that as well. But they need to be making these, you know, discipline equals freedom. They need to be making these smart choices that are pushing them towards a goal so they can enjoy. Not the not smart choices, but the more controlled higher calorie stuff. That's the whole point of it. And again, this the whole exercise, it is about getting to the truth of why you simply have to change. There's no other option. Again, you know, it's so easy just to go like, well, I want to lose some weight. Yeah, but not today. I'll start again on Monday. Like, if there's some urgency, if there's a real reason why you have to change, then you're going to do it. You know, and again, that's what these questions are. So the next one, I think, is a really good one. And it ties into the vanity piece that you said. That's what I wanted to come back to. It's like, who else benefits from you winning? Who else benefits from you being successful? And I get, you know, from people that I've spoken to, like, they're a bit self-conscious about going, like, I just want to look really good naked. I just want to feel confident, like, in my undies. Like, don't be embarrassed about that, because I know, when, you know, I feel in good shape, that I'm more confident, I feel better about myself, I'm happier, you know. And who benefits from that? Well, you, obviously, Joe, you know, my clients to some degree, you know, definitely Mags, definitely Tanya. So that vanity-based goals has a positive knock-on effect on other people. And I think this is a, you know, again, on the flip side of that, well, who else suffers if I don't make these changes? So we have that, you know, kind of like light and dark. version of goals, right? Well, my kids benefit from this. You know, my partner benefits from me being successful. And again, reverse engineer that. Well, who's suffering right now because you're not? Well, your partner's not getting the best version of you. You know, maybe not being the best parent that you want to be because, you know, you're tired and your temper's short and you're a bit snappy. You don't have the most patience that you would do normally. You know, you're not feeling good about yourself, so you're frustrated. You're not getting involved as much with the kids. Right, now we've got more fuel for that fire. Now I fucking simply have to change because my kids deserve a better mom or dad, you know, because my partner deserves the person that they fell in love with when they're married. Got a bit dramatic here. But I'm not, because it's true.
You know, so looking at that then, is there anyone, to kind of amalgamate two of those questions, is there anybody who suffers from you getting leaner?
Yeah, no.
So that's the thing, isn't it? Like every single interaction I have over the course of my day, if I do a drastic diet and it makes my mood worse, then people suffer. But in a sustainable approach, everybody benefits. The people who I say hello to at the gym because I'm more cheerful. The people when I go to Tesco and I smile and say thank you very much. You know, if I'm in a better mood, that will radiate out across the, every single interaction I have are more likely to be better. Nothing gets worse from me making those decisions. One of the other things to note here is that when you're asking yourself these questions, or when we're talking about these things, is that tune into your body and listen, because one of them will have a barb. One of them will catch you stronger than something else. And that's the one they'd hold on to. Because so often people will be like, well, I want to lose some weight, but you know, I'm not actually that bothered. Okay, but what about the examples James said there? What about your kids? What about your partner? What about your family? Have you got any dependents? What about your work and your career? One of these things will grab you stronger than the rest. And that's what you then need to hold on to, because that's what's important to you. And that's what matters. So for me, back to the vanity piece, I'm the one that matters the most. You know, nobody thinks about this stuff as much as me. I don't have kids, I don't have dependents. Like, yeah, it's nice that I'm a bit more cheerful day to day, but it's my life that it impacts the most. And so I hold on to that. That's what I would think of. It's no good having these noble ambitions if you don't care. Like, it's all well and good me being like, oh, it's really good for sustain if I'm leaner. But no one gives a damn. It doesn't matter. Yeah. It doesn't matter. It matters to me. And so it's all well and good me said, you know, trying to shoehorn myself into this, my goals into this more noble, humble standpoint. But if it's not true, it's not going to motivate me. And so you have, again, just to be willing and vulnerable to be honest with yourself and to then focus in on that, because that's what's going to give you the drive to be consistent.
And even talking on the value piece that you said, and we've got similar values within that, like as in our health, our fitness, you know, our appearance is a value to us. And like you said, you know, it's not because like, well, for business we have to be, because I think we've posted maybe like 3 or 4 topless photos in our entire time on Instagram, except for when I've been fat and out of shape and I posted them in the group and said, like, I need to do something about this. 6-month transformation is coming up. But that feeling, like you said, of feeling like a bit of an imposter, feeling like, well, is this a bit of a joke? Because I run this nutrition company, I help people get better bodies and lose body fat, yet I'm here and I'm out of shape. It goes into, you know, into your subconscious. So when you're feeling good about yourself, and again, it's that sense of achievement. I can do this. I can run this business and I can look after my health and, you know, have a healthy relationship and look after Fenton, and I can do all these things. Again, it's building that positivity. So it's that tick list. So again, it's a bit of a side note. It's not a major one, but don't be afraid of setting vanity-based goals, because again, if look at the effects of you achieving those goals, how does that positively impact you? And does that positively impact everyone else? And again, if you're not achieving them, how's that negatively impact you? And how's that negatively impacting, you know, those people around you? Because it's going to be the exact same people. So I like to go on a bit of a goal trifecta, which I'm probably going to lose you on this one, Joe, because I'm going to talk about Back to the Future, which you're going to tell me that you've never seen. Jesus Christ. Well, fingers crossed, there's some 40-year-olds listening to this that are big fans of Back to the Future. No, so when I look at the goal trifecta, I've got, you know, we've already established like where we're at right now and the pain that we're in and how shit it is in the nicest possible way. And there's going to be various levels of shitness. You know, there's going to be people who just feel uncomfortable and want to, you know, again, look good in the two-piece when they go on holiday in June. You know, and there's going to be various levels of discomfort. And there's going to be other people who are just like, you know, massively crippled by their being self-conscious and how they look, bursting into tears in the changing rooms and stuff like that. Then we've set that line of like, well, this is where I want to get to, and this is why it's so important, because this is how much my life will change. My trifecta comes in, because then I always get clients to look at, okay, that's our joyous six-month goal. We're on holiday. We're feeling great. We don't feel self-conscious. We're walking down the promenade. We're going on the water slides. We're doing all these things. Love it. Now, what does that six-month version of you look like if you do nothing? How's your life there? And it's scary. And the way I look at it is like, that joyous one, this is where I'll lose you, is when Marty McFly comes back. His dad's got the book deal. Marty's got the van. He's got the girl. His parents have got loads of money. Joe doesn't know what I'm talking about. The other version is where Biff has stolen the Armagnac. He's got all the money. He's built Biff Towers. He's married Marty's mum, and it's horrible. Everything's gone to shit. Again, it's a powerful one because it makes those decisions so much easier, because you're like, right, I am choosing Marty McFly with a truck, or I'm going to sack it off and I'm choosing to live in Biff Towers with Biff and his goons. And again, fingers crossed, there's a lot of Back to the Future fans here. If not, you're choosing to have the really positive experience, or you're choosing to stick on this shitty path where you're just going to get worse. Again, it's reinforcing those choices. It's building that motivation. It's giving that sense of urgency as to why this simply happens. Joe, you can tune back in now. I've stopped talking about Back to the Future.
No, I was listening. I was listening carefully. Obviously, I have no idea.
Who Biff Tanner is?
I made the links. The promenade story struck more of a chord than the other piece. But the word that you use is so spot on, is choice, isn't it? These are all choices. These are things that, you know, you can get that blame thrower out, and you can blame your genetics, your age, proximity to the gym, you know, all these other pieces. But the truth of the matter is, there's someone out there in a worse position than you doing a better job right now. And it's, okay, how are they doing it then? What are they doing? And then mirroring those behaviors. You've not got to make it up. You know, we can tell you what they are. You can send us your food and tell us what you're doing, and we can then say, these are the things that we recommend you do. It is then on your shoulders, which of those stories in 6 months' time do you want to have? But the more that you do this stuff, the more that you tune into your goals and you recognize it, you come back to it. You know, this stuff, just because I didn't share my goals at the start, you know, this stuff, I write down my goals every day of where I want to get to, because it's just that reminder, keeping it at the forefront. I have like a vision board that I look at in the morning before I start. I'm like, these are the things I want to be able to do with my life. This is why I'm doing some of these tasks. Not necessarily stuff that I love working for Sustain and the job that I do. There's parts of it that historically I haven't enjoyed and I haven't done, because I've wanted this pleasurable path to pleasurable results. That's not how it goes. You have to take, and you know, the irony being, the more uncomfortable the path, often the better the results will be, because the weak link is often going to be the things that you aren't the best at. So, you know, I really like coaching, so I put a lot of time left into coaching. That doesn't always, that's not necessarily going to grow the business as well as if I create more content or do more outreach. And so it's looking at those inner clues, again, the uncomfortable things like, oh, I don't want to get up earlier and I don't want to eat more veg. Actually, I just fancy eating a pizza. In all of those examples, the path of most resistance is the one that will get you the best results. And so you need that strong image that James has referred to there to help you to do those things. It's not going to make it harder. Having this optimistic view of the future, you know, people saying, I don't want to set goals. Having an optimistic, positive view of the future is not going to make things worse. It's only going to make you feel better. If it's not making you feel better, then you've not set very good goals.
Right at the start, I said, it's a target. It's something to aim at. And, you know, if you think about your most successful days out or something, you didn't just go like, right, let's go for a day out. Like, what should we do? Well, let's just set off walking and just figure out where we're going to get to. Like, there's probably some kind of plan in place. You probably had an aim of what you wanted to do, what you wanted to achieve. But just to talk a little quickly about that trifecta idea, not every choice is going to be perfect. I just want to get people away from this idea of fear of failure. And again, if you look at it like a supermarket, you've got tons of healthy, nutritious, delicious foods down one side of the aisle, and then you've got all the high calorie junk food down the other side of the aisle. You don't have to stick to that healthy side of the aisle forever. You're going to dip into the unhealthy stuff. You just need to spend more time on the healthy side. So it's the same thing with those choices. Like, You don't have to make every single choice perfect moving towards that dream future. You're going to mess up. You're going to slip up. And you're going to go to the dark side. And you're going to make some choices. You're going to eat a KFC bag in bucket because you haven't had one for a year. And then you go, ah, I regret that, like I do every single time. You go, I should have done that.
Sure, I do the same with KFC. I'm always
Tanya was away, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get a bag and bucket, and then I'm going to eat four pieces, and I'm like, oh, should have done that. I've done it again.
I think I might be able to have a heart attack.
You've just got to do stuff that's in line with your goals more than you do the other stuff. That's it. It's not about being perfect. It's about spending more time on that side of the aisle than on the other. You're going to dip in and out, and that's fine. We're human. Don't worry about it. And I think the last bit for me is just like, build a sense of purpose with all this stuff does. If you're like, all of a sudden, and again, typical, you know, our client is a busy mum who's tried a million and one diets and failed all of them because they've basically not given her the tools that she needed. That's where, you know, I totally believe where sustain is totally different. It's not about what, it's about why we eat it. When we're going, oh yeah. So then it's just like, it feels like a selfish act. I'm losing weight for me. I want to lose some weight because I'll feel better. And then all of a sudden you do all these exercises and you ask all these questions like, oh no, I'm doing this because I will have a better family life, because my kids will benefit from this, because I'll be a better role model, because I'll have more energy, because I'll be able to do this and do that, and I'll be a nicer person and blah, 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 blah. All of a sudden you've got this sense of purpose. You wake up with that every day and you're like, this is why I simply have to do this. This is why I'm doing this work. And that's really key for me to keep that motivation. Again, alongside an affirmation, like, I have to do this because this is why. It's not just like, because it'd be nice if I lose a bit of weight. Again, those people who set those goals, and probably you listening to this have set that goal for the past 5-10 years and not made it, that's not your fault. There just wasn't enough foundations to that goal. So look deep for your purpose. Why does this simply have to happen? And then you'll have that fuel to keep on going.
And like you said there, you know, people may have set this goal for the past 10 years, but have you set it with the emotional intensity and the depth that we've mentioned today? Probably not. You know, in my experience, vast experience, this stuff, most people don't go to this level of detail. And if you have, how often did you refer back to it? You know, that I'm just going to wind myself up for 2 seconds again with it. Like, they're losing your mojo. Like, you didn't lose it if you didn't nurture it. You know, it's not your God-given right to feel motivated all the time. You know, and it's about doing what you can to keep that motivation with you. And again, not even relying on motivation. Sometimes just doing the necessary tasks to get you to the goal that's important to you. You know, it's not about doing what you want to do all the time. Life is not about just having a good time. And do you know what? It can be. But then where does that leave you? I would imagine that eating whatever you fancy, drinking whatever you fancy, exercising when you fancy is probably what brought you here. I know that when I'm less disciplined with my food and exercise and alcohol, that doesn't lead me to a happier place. And that actually, I think that's for me, the application of discipline equals freedom, is that when I am disciplined with my food and my alcohol and my exercise, I am then free from a lot of the worries that concern me more often, the bigger pieces. You know, is it nice to eat whatever I want? Of course it's nice. Of course it's nice to just pig out and eat whatever you fancy. There is something enjoyable about that. It's never going to be questioned. But is it worth it? Well, in my experience, and most of the people I work with, no. You know, the number of times someone said to me, I had all this high-calorie food, and it just wasn't worth it. You know, it's just huge. 90% of the time, and then 10% of the time people do it, they often then go, in hindsight, well, I could have had a bit less, yeah. You know, it's just a skill. You're never going to nail this perfectly. You're just going to have to keep working at it and gradually get better and better. And hopefully the tools we've given you today can help you to do that.
I tell you what's nice, though, being able to eat that high-calorie food occasionally and being in the shape and the health and the fitness level that you want to be.
Mm, and getting back to that process, you know, it not dominating your life, you know, which is historically where we have struggled when we've done more restrictive dieting. Is that you have a bit, and it's because you've not mastered moderation. You know, it's no good being able to get to your goal and not be able to stay there. It's why we're called sustain, is we want people to achieve these goals and to maintain them.
Perfect. I think that'll do us, Joe. I don't even know how long we talked for there.
A long one. A
good
long
45, one. 50 minute, but valuable stuff. Start the year off right. If you need any help with this, if you want to send through what you've come up with, drop us an email. We're very open to talking to people. We love it. It's what we do for a living. So I hope that helps. Hope that adds some value. We're going to be, the next three podcasts are going to be built around you getting the best out of 2023. How to set up your nutrition, how to set up your lifestyle, how to set up your exercise for, not for maximum results, but for maximum longevity, for maximum consistency. Anything to add, Joe?
No, all good. Looking forward to it. Look, I hope everyone has a great new year and a good start to 2023, and look forward to helping you over the rest of the year.
Good night. God bless.